in the seven trumpets. And I believe starting with verse 7. And we want to go through speedily with this and see if we can get as much as possible of the fifth trumpet in. Though it's the ninth chapter needs a little work done on it so that you can... I want you to be convinced that these creatures are literal. The first angel sounded, and there followed, and notice there's no as it were, no simile, it's literal. There followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. Now, I want you to notice the 12 times third occurs in here. It's limited, but it's awful in a third part. We'll find in the bold judgments no limitation on some of them. And the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Did this happen before? Yes. It happened under the seventh plague in Egypt. I want to call your attention to this, and I want to show you why. In Exodus 9, 20-24, the seventh plague, and the Lord sent the thunder and hail, and the fire ran along the ground. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, none like it. Supernatural, not just a summer thunderstorm. A supernatural thunder and thunderstorm and not just lightning, but fire running along the ground. Now, I've seen fire run along the ground. I got hit by a little ball of fire one time when I was caddying out at Hialeah as a young fellow in Miami, Florida. My feet were on the wet ground, and I was sitting on the running board of a car. And I tingled from head to foot, but it didn't burn me, it didn't hurt me. But it did scare me quite a bit. And the colored boy sitting right next to me, I think, turned white. I know both of my hair stood on end. I had some hair in those days. It might have hurt me now when it's trying to do that, and couldn't. I want to call your attention to the fact that God says three times in the Old Testament that when He sets Himself to restore Israel the second time, it'll be like the first time. And it's in the latter days in the context. Let me give you some texts. Micah 7:15. He said it would be like when He took him out of Egypt. Let me read it. Micah 7:15. According to the days of the coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. Look at another text. Isaiah 11:15. Isaiah 11:15. Where he says, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came out of Egypt. Then Ezekiel 20:36. Ezekiel 20:36. And this is the primary one. I will plead with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. No, rather, I will plead with you face to face. Let me read it rightly. I will plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. Now, how did he plead with them in Egypt? Plagues. Ah, but there's one more thing. It'll be greater. Now, let me read that text. God says twice, be much greater. Jeremiah 23:7-8. And the very same thing in Jeremiah 16:14-15. I'll give those texts again. They're both the same. Jeremiah 23:7-8. Jeremiah 16:14-15. Let me read it. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and led the seed of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I have driven them. I don't let anybody ever tell you this was the small coming back under Nehemiah and Zerubbabel and Ezra. There were only 55,000 men. Do you mean to tell me that was greater than when he brought them out of Egypt when there were 3 million souls? And with greater miracles. The only miracle recorded when he brought them out of the land of captivity under Ezra was nobody swiped anything on the trip. They left with a certain amount of goods and they arrived with a certain amount of goods. Now, traveling through Muslim countries, that's a miracle. Don't anybody ever tell you that Mohammedanism is a wonderful religion and the Arabians are wonderful people. They're just as big a crooks as they were way back there. I know there's exceptions. I'm not minding that. But let me tell you something. If you want to go to Palestine and travel over the country, you better get in a caravan. If you start over the country by yourself, you probably won't even get there. Somebody will slit your gizzard wide open. The land is still a land of Bedouins and robbers. You could still go from Jericho up to Jerusalem and fall among thieves. These people have been there. They know. You can't go up and down through the country by yourself. You've got to go in a group. And if you got plenty of money, then hire a group. But be sure you know who you're hiring. For they probably will do a better job of robbing from you than the bandits. No, it wasn't under Ezra and Nehemiah and Zerubbabel that returned to captivity. Only 35,000. This is in the last days, until it's going to be more marvelous, a greater deliverance, a greater number, everything greater, until they won't even remember the time they came out of Egypt because of this deliverance in the last days. So the first one is a repetition of what happened over there, and we'll see some more. Look at the second, verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, here's a simile. This is not literal. I mean by that, the thing itself is not a mountain. It's like a mountain. Remember, this simile occurs a great number of times in this book. It's something like it. Now remember, the thing itself is true. There's no doubt it's a meteorite. It has a tail like a torch. Falls into the sea. But the thing is literal, as in the next one. As it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. God ever do that before? In the first plague. Only there, of course, he turned the drinking water. Here he turns the drinking water into bitterness, but there he turned it into blood. Until practically anywhere in Egypt, the only thing you could drink was blood. That'd be nice. Stinking, coagulated, rotten blood. In the first plague in Egypt, read Exodus 7:19-21. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Literally. Now, let's look at the third plague, third trumpet. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. It's a meteorite. Now, this is not in the 10 plagues in Egypt. But the drinking water is affected. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains. This is drinking water. As the first plague in Egypt was upon drinking water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. I think even the scientists will do this. Wormwood is a bitter bark in Palestine called absinthe, or the Greek word A-P-E-I-T-H-U-S. And is the very synonym of bitterness all through the Word of God. Wormwood. Wormwood. Here's why this meteorite is called wormwood, because it ruins the drinking water. I like to say here, when Jesus died on the cross, they gave him gall to drink. Here God returns the favor. Gives them bitterness to drink. I also like to say this is the reversal of the waters of Meribah, where God sweetened the bitter waters. Here he makes bitter the sweet waters. And the fourth angel sounded. And the third part of the sun. It is interesting to note the fourth day of creation or recreation, the light bearers were set in the sky. Hear the fourth trumpet. And the third part of the sun was smitten. We shall see this also in the bowl judgments, some more of them. But they're separate from these. These run their whole course through the Great Tribulation period. The last half, 3.5 years. The whole thing. That silence in heaven coincides with the staying of the four winds in chapter 7. The third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, for the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone but for a third part of it. The night likewise. You remember Jesus said there shall be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. We'll see more of these signs in the heavens when we come to the bowl judgments. When we come to the great earthquake, we shall see the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, as we saw in chapter 6, under the sixth seal. Yes? Oh, yes. I think so. The last three is what they're going to have problems with. I think the first four of all three of these series, I think the four horsemen... Science will have an explanation of the whole thing. I think these first four here, they'll have an explanation. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to enjoy them. When we come to the lice and the rest in the bowl judgments, I can just see old Professor Schnickelfritz up there scratching and saying, now, this is a natural explanation for this. But... these demons are going to be hard to explain in the next one. And the fallen angels. Yes? It is, we shall see in chapter 16, there is a speeding up of the sun, which will affect this. We'll also see, and as we did in prophecy class, there are three great ways in which God is going to re-canopy the earth. And one of them is to change all these laws. Here's why the heavens are rolled together as a scroll, a convoluting motion, and a shaking of the heavens and the earth, and the moving every island out of its place, and every mountain out of its place. I think the astronomers will... have a nice explanation for all this. We'll see more of this, these signs later, so I'll not enlarge upon it here, but because I do want to enlarge upon it a little bit more when we get over to chapter 16. Now, there are three more sounds, yes?
Three
It's the Antichrist himself as God. I don't doubt this at all, because the context there in the second chapter, 2 Thessalonians, I think is very plain. Where he stands in the temple proclaiming himself to be God. And then we read in chapter 13 of this book that the whole world worshipped after the beast, especially because of his resurrection. His death stroke that was healed is the Greek. He's a supernatural creature. That's why they say, who can make war with the beast? And even many in Israel will do it, will worship him and taste of the wrath of God. Now notice verse 13, and I beheld and heard another, I heard an angel, and a great number of old texts have eagle. I don't have any problem with that, though a lot of them try to explain that all kinds of other ways. I have no doubt he was like an eagle, this angel, because of his flying through the midst of heaven. By the way, this midst of heaven is in mid-heaven again, right above the earth. I believe everybody on earth will see him. I believe they'll also hear his three woes. Saying with a loud voice. I believe this is Gabriel, by the way. Woe, woe, woe. Sometimes translated, alas, alas, alas. The Greek word is O-U-A-I. It occurs 14 times in Revelation. Twice seven. It does carry the idea of time of trouble such as it never was. It's a lamentation, it's a mourning, it's a woe, as Ezekiel said about the opening of the book. And notice the three, because of the three angels which are yet to sound. These woes are the angels that sound, or the trumpet sounds. But it's woe to the earth dwellers. Remember, this is a time of trouble upon the earth dwellers, 3:10. Now, we shall see more about this, these earth dwellers, as we go along. It's upon them. By reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. Now, we want to start on this fifth trumpet judgment. It's supernatural. Like I said, all the great professors and philosophers and scientists and astronomers and all the rest have a perfect explanation for the first judgments. It's all natural, a little uncomfortable. Don't worry, the Democrats will straighten it out. But I can see some old professor trying to explain these strange creatures that come out there. They'll be visible, I believe. God will give them visibility. Yes?
What flag is Satan preparing the world for that with the recent, the last 9 months, unprecedented amount of horror films coming out?
Yes, I believe there's a reason for this. Of course, part of it is it's getting harder and harder to titillate the horror of a person, and they love to be scared. So God's going to take them up on it, I think.
We have TV programs.
Yes. I wouldn't look at one of them on TV. You can have them. I don't want them. The newspaper's enough horror stories in it. I was just looking at I don't know why. I was going through part of my library. I've got to go through it and throw out a lot of junk. But I was looking at this pamphlet on... and it wasn't put out by Christians. It was put out by, most of you know of Welch, who was supposed to be far right, from out in Texas, and all. They criticize him a lot. But I'll tell you this, I appreciate what the far right is doing. I know that you can get so far out right that you become a Nazi. But this little pamphlet, I had to quit. I started looking through it. And it was telling what the United Nations task force in Africa was doing. The armaments, armed by United States money. Mostly. And the civilians that they were bombing. Native villages. in order to put down an insurrection. I could give a whole thing. In order to keep, I think this was Idi Amin that they were trying to establish. The United Nations really put him in power. Like the United States put Fidel Castro in power. He never could have gotten into power if we hadn't helped him to overthrow the bad Batista regime. You know, it's kind of relative, all this business like that. It's according to which one is the biggest devil. But anyhow, I was horrified. I had forgotten about this magazine. The actual photographs of living victims of bombing. I sat there horrified. I just finally had to just close the thing and cry out to God of man's inhumanity to man. I know that some warfares are necessary. But these were peculiar ideas of the communistically inspired United Nations. And they are. The communists control that whole outfit. Here's why they vote against us every time they get a chance. But it's man's inhumanity to man. But I do believe the horror films and horror stories and all the titillation of man's shock mechanism is preparing the way. Now, as we go along, I will prove that these are supernatural creatures. They're not literal locusts. Locusts is a metonymy. I'll give you why when we go to Joel's second chapter. But these are demons. Now, before somebody said, well, Brother Bragg, a demon wouldn't look like that. That description is far out. That is like the historical people say, or the hysterical. That's the Saracens. They wore a ponytail back here, which looks like a woman's ponytail. How silly can you get? We'll see some 10 reasons why these are not literal locusts, but demons. There are four real things to correlate in this chapter. I mean, in this first seal in the chapter, the fifth seal. Fifth trumpet. The fallen star. The key. The abusos or pit. And the locust. These four. The star. The key, the pit, and the locust. Let me read this first verse. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star out of heaven having fallen. We saw him. Graphic past tense. As much a prophecy. But notice, and to him, it's a personality. Didome, couldn't have it otherwise, was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now, there's no doubt about this fallen star. We've already had it in angelology in the 14th chapter of Isaiah. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, morning star, son of the morning. And Lucifer is shining one. Here's the only place in the Bible we find the proper name of the devil. That's what he was called before he fell. It wasn't a bad word, as it is now, because he's fallen. There's no doubt that he was not an archangel. He was a cherub. Ezekiel 28 is very plain. The anointed cherub that covereth, he's called. But notice he's called, Lucifer. It's that great shining star that first appears in the morning. And Lucifer is named after it. Now, remember, I believe the ruling cherubim are called morning stars, as in the 38th chapter of the book of Job. At creation, they sang, we read, the morning star sang for joy at creation. Jesus, by the way, you find the scorpions and the in the same text. Turn with me back to Luke 10. We've got to get this one. And if you put it in the context, you'll find why. He had sent out the 70. Verse 17, they returned. 10:17 of Luke. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us. Now get those demons. They were very prevalent around the first coming of Jesus. They'd be very prevalent around the second coming of Jesus, as the angels are. Paul says, in the last days, men shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. It's not an accident that we're living in the day of cultism. There are heresies in the early church. There weren't any cults. The cults are a modern thing. They're satanic. They're demoniacal. They're teachings of demons. You could tell by their denial of the blood of Jesus Christ. By Christian Science, Russellism, or the Jehovah Witnesses. Here are the demons. Even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning, what? Fall from heaven. Now, if you'll put this in its context, you'll know, you'll find out, for instance, on in the, if you'll take every time when Jesus sent out the 12 or the 70, and take the 13th chapter of Mark and put it with it, you'll find the law of double reference. The instructions he gave to them applies to the Jewish remnant, the woman's seed, in the tribulation period, which are to preach the gospel, the good news. I can prove it by the 13th chapter of Mark. When Jesus said, ye will hardly have covered the cities of Israel until the Son of Man become in power. Well, he was already there. When is his coming in power? At the close of the tribulation period. So Jesus, the instructions he gave them back there as his witnesses belong to the witnesses in the future. In the tribulation period. That's a law of double reference. It can't be any otherwise when he says, you shall hardly cover the cities until the Son of Man become in power. I troubled over that thing for a long time, thinking, what in the world did he mean? Until I saw that they were a type. And they had all kinds of power. They could work miracles. But he said, notice this, don't rejoice that the demons are subject unto you, but that your names are written. The demons are going to be subject to the remnant of the woman's seed until their ministry is through, like the two witnesses. Then they're slain, according to the fifth seal that we saw. This fallen star, notice, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He didn't fall back there. This is proleptic. It's looking forward to the time when those other witnesses will be witnessing the remnant of the woman's seed who have the testimony of Jesus. That's the witness of Jesus in the tribulation days. That takes care of the fallen star. Notice what his name is. Turn to verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek, Apollyon. Who is Apollyon, the destroyer? This is one of the names of the devil. We'll see that in the 12th chapter. Now, what's the key? Here's the time. Oh, by the way, turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. And verse 12. 12, 12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Here are the tent dwellers in heaven, contrasted to the earth dwellers. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath. For he knoweth his time is short. Here is Satan as lightning fallen from heaven. Now you read the context, we'll come to it later. Michael and his angels contending with the devil and his angels, and no more room was found for them in heaven. And that old devil, the dragon, and Satan was cast out of heaven, that accused them before God day and night. Now notice verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, that's Israel, which had brought forth a man-child, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, who have the testimony of Jesus. There's no doubt about the devil is cast out of heaven in the middle of the tribulation period. No doubt about it at all. For he has his great wrath to accomplish what he wants to do in that last 3.5 years. Here he is seen in chapter 9. Here, if you don't have the law of recurrence, you're going to have this thing all messed up. He's showing here a brand new thing taking place at the middle of the tribulation period. The key is authority. We give the key to the city. We don't mean he opened every bank in town, every bank vault. It's symbolic. We say we're turning.